This is Hometown Heroes. Honoring everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes. Our guest today, 89-year-old Warren Smith of Fresno, California, originally from Raton, New Mexico. That's a city of about 7,000 now on Interstate 25 near the Colorado border. He shared how he rode horses to school as a young boy there before moving out to California. He was just a teenager when he headed to Saipan with the 2nd Marine Division, just 19 when he was wounded there in July of 1944. He told us about that, and before the break, he told us about surviving a kamikaze attack on the LST he was on just off the coast of Okinawa. I want to save a little time to ask him about his experience with Honor Flight before we're done, but let's jump back in where we left off before the break.
So after that incident where your ship was hit by the kamikaze, what did they do with you for the rest of the war?
The rest of the war? They sent us back to Saipan, and we trained some more for the invasion of Japan.
And you say the invasion of Japan, and folks know that it never happened, but I'm sure to you at the time it probably seemed awfully real.
Well, yeah, it seemed real. Of course, we didn't know it was for, we was going to Japan. We didn't know what we was training for. But they expected the first wave to be annihilated, and one general was mad because he wasn't going to be on the first wave, and when he found out what the thing was, he wasn't that disgusted about it.
Yeah, well, the official government intelligence was that at least 1 million Americans would have died and countless more Japanese. And I've talked to guys who were actually went ashore in some of those same spots where the invasions would have been, and they saw the Japanese guns that were lined up ready to mow people down. You saw that too?
I seen where we was going to invade, and they had some good crossfire that would really pick us off.
So I imagine that leaves very little doubt in your mind that the atomic bomb might have saved your life?
I'm pretty near certain of it, just pretty near certain of it, because we were going to be the first wave.
Is that humbling? Does that take your breath away a little bit to think about that?
Well, not really. I just think, oh, Ben, boy, we were lucky. We were lucky. There was a story that a Japanese girl wrote, and I got the book here somewhere, that she was talking about them training for the invasion, high school kids. Yeah. And she says, all I can say is hooray for the atomic bomb. Says, I had friends that got killed by it, but she says, I know it saved a lot of lives.
And you really can make a case that it saved more lives than it took, without question. And yours clearly was one of those. And you started to tell me earlier about the way that news played out. So you're on Saipan training when you get the news that this bomb's been dropped, and then shortly after the news that Japan has surrendered. How did you guys celebrate over there?
Hey, just raising a lot of hell, you know. And of course, up in Okinawa, they were shooting a lot of stuff in the air, and a few people got hit and killed.
So I'm sure you're thinking, okay, when do I get to go home, right?
Right. I didn't get here for Christmas, but I got here shortly after Christmas in 45.
Oh, and speaking of Christmas, you did say that the day you guys got hit on Okinawa, that was Easter Sunday?
It was Easter Sunday.
Had that held any kind of meaning for you at that time?
Nothing other than I can just remember it easy.
And getting to Japan, how long were you there, and what were you doing there?
We was just there for guard duty mainly. We went out looking for tanks and stuff, you know, and we was there blowing up their airplanes and stuff like that. So there was no big excitement there. I only went out on Liberty once there because I was just a little bit scared of them. And I didn't want them to get me back in one of their alleys.
Did you interact with them at all, any of the Japanese?
Well, they were very obedient, I guess you would say. They were told to surrender, and they surrendered. Yeah. And that was it.
So getting to come home, what was that like to see America again after all the time that you'd spent overseas?
Great. It was really a nice time to get home again. We had a rough time on ship coming home because we went up through the Aleutians, and it was real stormy up there. You get in bed and you just have to hang on, keep from getting thrown out of bed. But we landed in San Diego, and then they transported us up to Mare Island for the discharge.
When you think back on that time in your life, and again, you went in as a teenager, what do you think it did for you? What do you think you gained from the experience?
That is a hard one to think about. I never did think about it. Other than I just knew that I was glad to be back in America.
And you've got, two children, two grandchildren, three great-grandchildren? It ever hit you that none of them would be here if you hadn't survived that that bullet in Saipan?
Yes, I think about it, and I'm just glad that I'm here to have them.
And I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. I know a lot of people have different takes on it, and I've heard them all. But when you think back about some of those moments, the artillery fire from your own guys that was heading into your lines, the Japanese fire, and you have to evacuate people, getting hit yourself, did you feel like someone or something was protecting you?
Oh, I don't know whether I did or not. I just knew that I hadn't got hit, and I got back home. Just thankful that I got home.
What about now? You've had a few years to think about it since, like about 70 of them.
Somebody must have been looking over me. All I can say is somebody must have been looking over me.
You know, I've heard the few, the proud, the Marines. Once a Marine, always a Marine. Semper Fi. What makes you proud? What are you proud of when you think about the time you spent in the Marine Corps in World War II?
Just happy that I was in the service for the country. Am I happy, proud of the Marines? Yeah, but I'm proud of all the rest of the service people. All of them. Every one of them did what they were supposed to do.
Yeah, and you know, one of the reasons that I do this show is to help those of us who are a little younger who weren't alive then understand what it was that helped America and its allies win World War II. What is it that you think we need to know that made America special at that time, that earned that label of the greatest generation?
Oh, let me think about that a minute. Now, ask that question again.
What made your generation the greatest generation? I'm pretty sure you believe it wasn't just the guys in uniform, but it was bigger than that. What's your explanation of what made America great at that time?
Because I think most of Americans was proud of America, and they wanted to do everything that they could to help us. They had gas rationing, and that wasn't for the gas. That was for the rubber, so they wouldn't use up their tires and stuff. And if they'd had all the gas they wanted and rationed the tires, which they tried to, they'd go ahead and wear them out and then have to walk, and they couldn't get to their jobs.
Did you ever hear from your family while you were overseas?
I heard from them a lot more than they heard from me. But yeah, my family rode a lot.
What did that mean to you when you got something from home?
It was just nice to have mail call, that's all. I should have wrote more. My mother was worried sick, and I didn't write as much as I should. And then they got the telegram that I'd been wounded, didn't explain what or anything, and was supposed to follow up. Well, they never did.
So did she not know how badly you were hurt until you showed back up?
Well, yeah, I did let them know that I was back in the unit. And when I went to New Caledonia, I wrote them from there, and then I was transferred back to Hawaii. And I had a cousin there that was working there in the office, and I seen her, and she wrote to my mother and stuff. So she knew that I was all right and was going back to work.
If there's anything else that comes to mind, feel free to pop it in there. But I want to ask you about a recent journey that you had. You didn't go quite as far as Saipan, but you went to Washington, D.C. with Central Valley Honor Flight. And there's a picture here of you and your daughter in front of the Marine Corps Memorial, that giant statue of the Marines atop Mount Suribachi. I'm sure that was a meaningful moment for you. What did you get out of that trip to Washington, D.C. to see the World War II Memorial and so many other things?
It was an exciting moment to see what we had done and everything that we had back there in Washington, D.C. that everybody should get a chance to see. And if they get a chance, they need to do it.
You don't seem to me to be an overly emotional guy, but I'm guessing there were some points in that whole journey, whether it was the way there, everything you saw there, or the way home with the letters you got from family members thanking you, or the great crowd that welcomed you at the airport.
All those above. Yeah. It was the crowd that was there, the crowd when you was seeing the statues and stuff, and the thing there that had 4,000 search stars. The little kids would come up and want to shake your hand, want to take pictures with you. That was all really made you feel good.
What made you the most emotional, or made you feel like what you did really mattered?
I think the little kids coming up and wanting to get a picture with you and thanking you was probably the most emotional thing. And you think, well, man, these kids, they do know that something had happened in the world, don't they?
You mentioned the gold stars. Representing more than 400,000 Americans who died in the war, and you came close enough to adding to that number. What do you think we should remember about those men who paid with their lives. How often do you think about that?
Well, that's been 50 years ago, and I think that we need to thank them for their contribution to the war effort, to the freedom of America. We've had these kind of things before, World War I, the Civil War that was a terrible one. They didn't have the medication to take care of them then that they had with us. Yeah. And it's the same now. We keep developing things, and people there that get wounded in Iraq and are bad wounds, but just glad I'm here.
Well, so am I, and I want to thank you for serving our country. Thank you for telling me a little bit of your story. Is there something that you would say you're most thankful for after all these years, that your time in the war, the cotton fields, milking cows, driving truck? You've done a lot. What are you most thankful for?
Just being alive and living in this country. That's about all you can think about.
And what keeps you so sharp? Because I think people listening to you talk, they're thinking, no, that guy's not 89. What's going on here?
Just luck. That's all. Just good luck. Good genes.
And a good Marine, Warren Smith. Before I sign off, just a little more about Honor Flight, which takes veterans like Warren free of charge to Washington, D.C. to see the National World War II Memorial. Remember, it doesn't matter where you live. Chances are there is an Honor Flight hub right in your area, and you can find all of them listed at honorflight.org. That's honorflight.org. For example, if you're here at the show in the Bakersfield area, Honor Flight Kern County is going to send another flight September 20th through the 22nd. And if you're in the Fresno area, like Mr. Smith is, your chance to welcome home a group of about 70 World War II vets will come Wednesday night. This coming Wednesday night, September 17th, be at the Fresno Yosemite International Airport by about 6:30, and you can be part of that goosebump-inducing crowd. Really, it gives me goosebumps every single time. And just imagine what it means to these World War II veterans, most of them in their 90s, when a loud and proud red, white, and blue crowd welcomes them home. I want to thank Warren's nephew, Jeff Smith. Maybe you've done business with him at MDS Doors. Jeff let me know about his uncle's Marine Corps story. If you have a vet in your life that you think I ought to interview, send me an email, paul@hometownheroesradio.com. That's paul@hometownheroesradio.com. And you never know, I might be headed to your area. Like all you listening on the Rock of Talk in Albuquerque, I'm going to be in your neck of the woods at the end of the month and look forward to meeting some very special veterans there. Time to say goodbye. Thank you for listening to Hometown Heroes today. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you that freedom is not free.